bow out at a time when most people thought that the nomination would be his for the asking. And he just stepped aside. And I think he's in a position now to say to anybody except Fulton, he can certainly say to Butcher, I stepped aside, now I'd like y'all to support me. And I think you've been in a strong position.
The impression we've gotten so far in talking to people that the single most unifying force on the horizon for the Democratic Party in Tennessee is Bill Brock.
Yeah.
I mean, that he is a stronger negative force for unification than he is any really positive force within the Democratic Party.
Yeah, probably so. I'd hate to not change that, but just a little bit about Brock. Hooker and Fulton. I guess one thing that might swing me on that is I'd hate to see us lose Fulton in the 5th District in that seat he's in. I hate to see him when we've got another man who could. So I would hope that they'd work resolve that some way. But I could strongly support either one of them. But Brock is a negative force that inspires us all.
Is that primarily because the nature of the campaign you ran against Gore? Or is it Brock's voting record?
I think it's his voting record and the campaign, plus a general feeling of distrust of the man, as though he's cold and calm, and he has an almost disdain for I don't know how to put it, but it just doesn't inspire any warmth at all to people. He's a very cold person. Of course, nobody really forgives him for beating Albert Gore either. And we think, he's not a mental giant either.
Well, is it his defeat of Gore, or is it the way he defeated Gore that creates the most response?
No, I think most people think Gore defeated himself. I do.
In what way?
Well, I think Gore operated on the theory throughout his life that if you get elected and you do a good job, even when people disagree with you, they're going to re-elect you if you do the statesmanlike thing and they think you're honest and have integrity. And that's not the case. So he didn't stoop to little trivial things of keeping people happy here and there and mending fences.
It wasn't Gore's voting record that defeated him so much as his failure to really provide adequate constituent service.
No, I think that adequate constituent service would have overcome his voting record, is what I'm saying. Even his, I would never have cast that second vote. After having voted against Haynesworth, there's probably more reason to vote for him than Carswell. And so I guess he was in a real bind. If he voted against him, surely he can't vote for this dum-dum. But I think the political thing to do at that point was to vote for him. But he didn't. And I think he could have gotten by with that if he had been a little more, I guess, a good example of. I don't think he was a good politician, Albert Gore. I remember in '58, I was a reporter and I was sent to Washington with the Mid-South Spelling Bee champion, and one of the thrills for the little boy was to have lunch with Senator Gore. So we rode the railway across in the Senate dining room, and he was talking to this young man. He says, Douglas, his name was Douglas Packard, I admire you. I never was much good at spelling. He said, for example, there are certain words that I just have a real problem with, like appeal. I always want to spell it with one L. And Douglas said, well, Senator, it is spelled with one L. And so I was writing that down, and as we were leaving, Gore called me aside and says, would you please not use that about an appeal? And I said, why? I think it's revealing and it's heartwarming. And he said, oh, I hate for anybody to know I can't spell. I said, please don't do that. And he got kind of real serious about it. To me, that was we just endeared him to people. Everybody that can't spell appeal. And even the ones that could spell it wouldn't have looked, but I think it was
a human quality.
It was a human quality. The senator is one L. He wasn't a warm person. And he didn't know how to politic. I think you can get by with a lot if you have political charisma, and Gore didn't have it.
I'm curious about Shelby County playing state politics.
Well, it's one fifth of the state. It elected the governor last time. I think there's no question. It's becoming a key in any statewide race, because when you've got a state where there are 95 counties, and 94 of them has 80% of the vote, and the 95th one has 20%, then obviously you can meet more voters per minute of campaigning in Shelby County than in any other county in the state. So when you can cover one-fifth of the state by being in one county, then just mathematically it's important. And the person who can get in here and get this Memphis vote is way ahead of the game.
How do you evaluate the quality of the Capitol Press Corps? You're now really in a unique position to do that.
Well, they're like anybody else that's on a bureau, or on a beat. You tend to get in a rut. I think if I were an editor, I would change it very often, because they tend to write the same stories, and I think it's not as fresh as it could be. It's a criticism of newspapers in general, but I think they tend to write the gee whiz controversial stuff or ignore a lot of reporting about medieval things that are going on. Of course, the argument of the paper is we print what people want to hear, and I think they tend to belittle the legislature more so than they do any other. Maybe it needs belittling, but I mean, some of it is exaggerated and unfair. I think the general impression of the legislature among the voters is that it's a group of guys who are getting away from their wives for a big party, and the wine and the money and the whiskey and the girls are everywhere, and nobody really gives a damn what's going on, and nobody works. They just stay up all night party. And I know that's not the case. There's a lot of hard work goes on up there, a lot of thoughtful deliberation. There's a hell of a lot wrong with the thing. I'm sure there's a lot wrong with the government at all levels, and maybe more so at that level. But I don't think there's a good balance of reporting.
Is there a need for more investigative reporting?
Yes, I think so.
So you fault them then both on the lack of investigative reporting and also the lack of just reporting on substantive issues.
Right. For example, the medical...
Making government understandable, in effect.
Right, the vocational education bill. I don't think there's been much of it all written about that. And that's going to be a far-reaching thing, I think.
You see Tennessee ever enacting the income tax?
Yes.
Is that a coming issue? Why did nobody in the governor's race make that an issue this time?
Political fear. Because they know that the average citizen thinks of an income tax as an additional tax over and above what they're having to pay, and they don't want to pay anymore. Everybody wants service, but they don't want to pay for it. So you have people criticizing the spending record of the incumbent and saying he hasn't done enough and telling you what they're going to do.
How are you going to have an income tax unless there's some leadership to educate the public on it? How do you think they will be?
Well, I'm for an unlimited convention. I've been telling the legislators that I've been talking to that, you know, you don't hurt yourself by saying we're willing to let to have an unlimited convention, to let a convention explore all possible tax ramifications, and then present it to the people to turn it up or down. But you've got a strong sentiment against even allowing a convention to consider income tax. And if you don't, we're just going to dry up.
Is that sentiment changing at all?
I don't know. I don't think so. I doubt if they'll have an open convention.
So it's a long ways off.
Well, I think we've got to start setting it up by next year, though. I think we've got to start pass the resolution for the call this coming year, I think.
But the way it looks now, that will be limited.
It does look that way.
Would the governor's leadership be a key factor in that, whoever the governor is? In other words, if the governor, whoever he is, took a strong position on an unlimited call, would that make a substantial difference in the legislature?
Yeah.
Take people off the hook, in effect.
Right. I think it would, definitely.
Have either of the candidates given any indication at all that they consider that, or has that even been an issue?
Of the two? I don't know. I haven't heard either one of them say anything about it. Bill Ferris indicated that he would make an issue of that, but he didn't stay in as a candidate. I think we've got to have an income tax, or else the poor property owner is going to have a mighty high note, and sales tax is going to just soar. And we've got the most regressive tax base in the nation. Memphis has, for example, of the 26 major cities, ours is the most regressive. When you figure our sewer tax, which is really city service fee, which is just a tax, and the sales tax is up in the state. And property, which is more regressive, tends to be than income tax. But you've got different people calling for an income tax now.
Who would be the strongest three or four or five lobbying groups in Nashville standpoint?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it
Doris
Price
on line 2?
She'll say.
I'd say the Farm Bureau, certainly. I'd have to mention them.
Banks,
yeah. Of course, you got different groups of banks. Liquor industry.
How about insurance?
Yeah.
How about the trial lawyers?
I don't know the trial lawyers organization as powerful as an organization. I think lawyers are a strong lobby in the legislature by virtue of the fact that so many lawyers are in the legislature. For example, I'm not a member of the trial lawyers, but I'm a lawyer. And I don't think the trial lawyers organization is all that powerful as an organization.
Why is the Farm Bureau so strong, and particularly, especially in a state that's no longer a predominantly rural state? Tennessee is a predominantly urban state.
Apparently, they still have the framework for electing or defeating people because, I got the little certificate from Memphis Humane Society. I had four bills that affecting confinement and treatment of animals and mistreatment of them and so forth, and Farm Bureau killed them all. Well, I got them all passed in the Senate, but the Farm Bureau went over to the House and just proceeded to get them all killed and just panicked that little girl who was handling it, a little Republican from Shelby. And so he finally agreed that he would withdraw his opposition if she would make them all local bills. So she came to me and I amended all of mine to make them local bills. So, I mean, I've just seen them work up there. I would just consider them very powerful because the legislature's got so many of the people up there that seem to listen to them.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not a real legislator, and so I don't know what role they play in selecting them.
But apparently they must influence urban legislature because it's,
really
they've got a majority of legislature comes from urban areas, don't they?
Is it? I don't think so. I guess you got to define what's an urban area now. Jackson, Tennessee, is that urban? Lowell Thomas, then, is an urban senator, but I don't ever think of him that way. He seems like a mighty rural in his thinking to me. Maybe not as powerful as I think they are, but I just hear that.
The short impression I have from some other people is they are. I'm just trying to understand why.
One of the other.
there anything you wanted to add that we haven't covered? Includes a lot of areas.
No, it's a real tough question. I can see that you put a lot of thought into it. Your questions were a little more bent toward the philosophical aspect of it than I thought they would be. And I really haven't been there that long to form the kind of opinions and impressions that you're interested in, I think. For example, like the last question, I don't really know why the Farm Bureau is strong. I just know that I hear legislators saying that the Farm Bureau is opposed to this, and all of a sudden they're voting the other way. But apparently they're very instrumental in seeing who gets elected.
Through campaign contributions or otherwise?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's because they elect the politicians locally who tend to elect the... I always thought the local county organization in each county just named the state representative, and you better consider yourself as an agent of the county organization and you're gone. But apparently the Farm Bureau is... Maybe they name them as well.
What business is Farm Bureau into in Tennessee? I mean, they're pretty big in insurance business of their own, aren't they?
Don't know. Don't know a thing about the Farm Bureau. I know when I first went up there, a new Republican senator who's now resigning, elected judge over in Hamilton County, Ken Porter, gave me a bill they wanted me to sign with him. He said, oh, this is a Farm Bureau bill about feeding of hogs. It says you don't have any pig farmers in Shelby County. I want to stick your name on it. So I stuck my name on it. It was to prevent the feeding of cooked mash, cooked garbage to pigs, to cut down the cholera. And so I stuck my name on it more. When I got home, I caught hell from the Memphis Restaurant Association who'd been selling that stuff. Since that time, I've been a little less eager to put my name on bills that I'm not personally interested in, you know, especially when they're not supposed to affect me at all. Turns out that I'm all right on the thing because I've had some cholera outbreaks since then, one down in Mississippi and so forth. And I think that.
Does the Farm Bureau get involved in legislation that's fairly far removed from farm interest? Are they fairly narrow in their interest?
I don't know. I never talked to them. I never talked to the lobbyists for them, except to say hello to them.
From observation or hearing other people say, you know, what the Farm Bureau position is on it.
I believe I recall that they have, know, taking positions on legislation that wouldn't necessarily be farm matters. Specifically, besides the example, I can't think of one. But I think they take positions on no-fault insurance, on things like that. They're generally for this or that. Or they may have taken a position on ERA, I don't know. I'm not one of the Farm Bureau legislators. I guess they don't have much control in my district, so I don't really know just what their activities are. I just managed to find the restroom the first year, and second year I learned where the house was. Next year I hope to find out how bills passed. It's very bewildering and confusing when you first get up there. And still confusing because of the system. You never know whether a bill's passed. Someone called me now and said, did y'all pass the bill? All I can tell her is that we passed it. I don't know whether the House passed it or whether the governor signed it. It didn't come back for a veto. It either died in the House or he signed it. And they think, well, what a stupid, you don't even know what's going on.
End interview with James White. No more transcription of this tape.